Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to RateGain Travel Technologies Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all the participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhanu Chopra, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, and a very good afternoon to everyone, and thank you very much for joining the earnings call for RateGain Travel Technologies Limited for the second quarter and first half of the fiscal year 2024. It's great to connect with you all again, and I'm excited to share some key updates from the quarter. Joining me on the call are Mr. Tanmaya Das, our CFO, and Mr. Divik Anand, our Head for Investor Relations. We announced our second quarter and first half results for the fiscal year 2024 earlier today, and I hope you've had a chance to go through our financial results, press release, and investor presentation that are available on the stock exchanges and on our company website. I'm happy to report that the company has delivered another impressive quarter marked by robust growth, stellar margins, and a compelling financial performance that underscores our positive momentum. The travel industry continues on its path of strong recovery across key markets, and with a shift in people's attitudes towards travel, we are poised to capitalize on macro-level surge in demand and look to get deeper ingrained with our key customers across segments. Our unwavering commitment to delivering excellence and value for our customers and key stakeholders is evident through the strong operating and financial metrics of Q2 and first half. Some of the key highlights I would like to share with you here are: our ARR has grown to a new high of 938.9 crores, growing at an impressive pace of 92% year-on-year. We continue to scale up at a healthy pace based on steady organic growth and successful implementation of our M&A playbook, as shown in the quick turnaround and continued traction in the DAR. Revenues for the Q2 grew by 88% to rupees 234.7 crores compared to the same period last year. Robust revenue growth was backed by strong margins, affirming the strength of the SaaS-backed business model to convert revenue growth to sustainable profitability. Our Q2 margins have grown significantly year-on-year and now are at 19.8%. The sales momentum continues on a strong footing with new contract wins of 125 crores in the first half compared to 40 crores last year, highlighting the strength of our comprehensive digital marketing offering and strong volume demand as industry leaders focus to adopt AI to drive efficiencies and optimize their revenues. This continues to be backed by a strong pipeline of over 401 crores. We continue to witness good traction in our Adara business as the focus remains to reconnect and reactivate the lost revenue from pre-COVID. Sales teams have seen healthy conversion of the built-up pipeline, and we continue to make investments to accelerate growth by hiring back a lot of the ex-Adara employees and maintaining that growth focus. We've increased our focus on the Adara MarTech offering, which is higher up the value chain as we manage the performance marketing campaigns for our customer partner brand. Adara's brand recognition has improved significantly as it continues to capture market share across leading travel brands, DMOs, airlines, and hospitality chains. Based on our product proposition, our renewal conversations are turning into upgrades, and more clients are choosing to activate performance marketing with us based on our AI modeling capabilities leading to improved performance. We continue to see improvement across some key operating and financial metrics. Our revenue per employee has improved to 1.3 crores, improving 62% year-on-year, capturing improved productivity and ability to scale up in a sustainable manner. Generative AI and its adoption by companies continues to be at the forefront for many companies to improve customer experience, drive cost efficiencies, and optimize revenue. Our expertise in providing accurate intelligence at scale and driving ROI for large brands is helping drive incremental revenue from existing relationships and acquire new clients. The investments related to developing the right solutions are underway, and while on one hand we are beneficiaries of the same, we are also adopting and exploring further AI-based use cases that have commercial viability in our industry. On the state of the industry, global travel continues to hold steady despite recent macro uncertainty. Global travel growth continues to remain strong, with the Global Travel Health Index by Skift coming in at 106 for September, a new record high. All key regions continue to hold on or are above the 2019 levels, with North America continuing to outperform. International travel performance is at par with domestic travel with most regions, and actually clocking a higher score in the North America region, ending strong pickup in cross-border travel. India is another region reporting strong recovery in international travel, with outbound travel surpassing pre-pandemic levels. The momentum in the industry is driving change, adoption, upgradation of existing tech stack, and attracting new investors into the industry, which is further unlocking new opportunities for players like Wayfair to consolidate their position through product innovation and acquisition to have a larger share of a thriving market as the industry looks at adopting more technology to engage with travelers. With that, I will briefly touch upon the performance across each of our business units. The TAS business contributed to 31.9% of the total revenue for H1. This unit grew at a strong pace on the back of healthy traction with some key enterprise accounts across OTAs, airlines, car rentals, and cruise. We continue to see incremental volume demand coming from our existing enterprise customers, driven by strong travel demand, product innovation with a focus on building AI models. Given the importance of AI, a lot of our customers are seeking to deploy AI and their capabilities for their decision support systems, helping in revenue management, personalized recommendations, and digital marketing. We expect to see this trend continue to drive growth for our TAS segment in the near term. RevAI, our bet for transforming the car rental industry, is showing strong growth as we take a land and expand strategy across franchisees and have seemed to have achieved a product market fit. New sales have registered a healthy growth. The need for RevAI increases as higher resource costs and increased competitiveness in the market pushes car rentals to look at AI-based solutions that can tell them how to increase revenue. The distribution segment accounted for 22.4% of our total revenue. Volumes growth held steady in the past quarter with continued demand across our enterprise chain segment on both OTA and GDS channels. I'm also proud to report that the volumes of GDS channels have surpassed 2019 levels for the first time as we continue to gain traction with marquee customers in enabling connectivity for them across demand partners. We continue to be the partner of choice for large hotel chains as they undertake digital transformation projects to modernize their distribution ecosystem and optimize their presence across channels. We started to monetize our order book from some key events at the end of last year and expect to see the full effect of that in the second half of this fiscal. Our MarTech business contributed to 45.7% of our total revenues for H1, backed by improved growth in the digital marketing segment, as we continue to see healthy growth managing performance marketing campaigns for leading hotel chains, regional and global DMOs, airlines, and attraction parks trying to achieve higher returns on their digital marketing investments. The value we are driving for large travel brands based on the strength of the travel intent data we are generating is really allowing us to recapture market share within that segment. With the continued investments, we're confident of scaling up this business in the near term. Our PDM offering for hotels to optimize direct customer acquisition continues to gain traction in the Europe and APAC region. We continue to strengthen the leadership team as we strive to further scale up the business, and I'm happy to share that we've recently appointed a new GM for Adara, Jay Wardle, who's in the past role was leading a renowned ad tech firm Distillery. Jay has extensive experience having worked with leading brands like American Express, and AOL, and has a proven record in the data and technology space. His role will be invaluable as we continue to drive growth and innovation at Adara. His expertise in leading operations, sales, and marketing will be critical for us to drive more well-rounded, sustainable growth as we aim for our next big goal. As we navigate through another successful quarter, it brings me immense pride to share some remarkable achievements on the people front. Our attrition rate continues to trend lower to 13.8% annually, reflecting our commitment to retaining and nurturing talent, while our record-breaking eNPS of 51.7 highlights immense employee satisfaction. Additionally, our teams invested over 2,300 hours in training, emphasizing our commitment to upskilling and growth. These achievements are a testament to our collective efforts and dedication to making RateGain the undisputed employer of choice. I'd like to now ask our CFO, Mr. Tanmay Das, to take you through the performance of Q2 and H1. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhanu, and a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I'm delighted to report that the company has posted another robust set of results in the quarter gone by, summing up a strong performance in the first half, building on its performance from a record year. Strong, sustainable revenue growth across verticals backed by healthy margin expansion, which continues ahead of guidance and stands at a 15-quarter high on the back of operating leverage playing out. Our steadfast focus on operational efficiency and value creation has resulted in stellar margins for H1, affirming our capability to convert revenue into sustainable profitability. The solid foundation positions us well to drive innovation and capitalize on future opportunities. Despite recent macro uncertainty, we see growth holding steady across the travel space, but we maintain a cautiously optimistic approach, keeping an eye on developments across key regions. Our inorganic growth front, we continue to mine a healthy pipeline and engage with various companies exploring the right value and synergies in accordance with our strategy to build an integrated tech stack focused on revenue maximization. This continues to be a very key focus area, and we remain steadfast in our approach to finding the right fit in line with our vision. For the second quarter of 2024, the company reported a revenue of 234.7 crore with a year-over-year growth of 88.4%. As Vanu mentioned earlier, that we continue to see significant traction in the paid digital media segment of our MarTech offering. This has resulted in this vertical growing at a faster pace of 142.3% in Q2, with DAS growing at 119.6% and distribution at 10.5%. With the monetization of our large order win from last year underway, we expect a healthy pickup in our distribution segment in the second half. EBITDA grew by 163.9% to 46.4 crore in the quarter as compared to 17.6 crore in the same period last year. EBITDA expansion continues at a healthy pace to 19.8% margin in this past quarter compared to 14.1% last year. As the company continues on its path of fiscal prudence and operating leverage kicking as we scale up, the total operating expenses grew at pace of 76% in Q2 compared to 88% growth in revenue. Our PAT grew at 132% to 30 crores, up from 13 crore last year. For the first half of the year, the company reported a revenue of 449.2 crore with a year-over-year growth of 84.2%. This was on the back of strong growth from all three verticals, with DAS growing 129%, distribution at 18%, and MarTech at 114% for the first half. EBITDA grew by 185% to 84.2 crore for H1, with the margins coming at 18.7% as against 12.1% the same time last year. The H1 EBITDA comes in higher than the guidance given at the end of the last year, with our high-margin business DAS vertical witnessing strong growth with increased demand and data volumes from our key customers, coupled with continued traction in Adara on both growth and improved margin performance. Our PAT grew 157% in H1 compared to the same time last year, coming in at 54.9 crores, up from 21.4 crores. The company continues to have strong customer relationships with low churn and focus to expand existing relationships to build sustainable revenue streams. Our gross revenue retention and net revenue retention stood at 90% and 110% respectively, with an expanding customer base, which currently stands at 3,104. We closely track and strive to outperform on key operating SaaS metrics, and for H1, our revenue per employee stood at 1.26 crore, growing at 62% over last year. We continue to make investment in expanding our sales teams in U.S., LATAM, Middle East, and other key geographies, and have also stepped up our marketing efforts to propel growth. And with that, our current pipeline stands at 401 crore. Our cash flow generation has improved significantly compared to last year. The cash flow from operations stood at 76.9 crore in the first half, with the cash flow conversion to EBITDA coming in at 91%, compared to 61% for the full year last year. This is on the back of improved profitability and improved DSOs. We continue to have a strong debt-free balance sheet, where our net worth saw an increase of 18% as compared to last year, stood at 769.9 crore. Our cash and cash equivalent balance continues to grow, now stands at 423 crore. In terms of guidance for full year FY 2024, at the end of Q4 last year, we had guided for a growth of 55% to 58% for the full year over FY 2023. Given the performance in the first half, we revised the guidance upwards to around 65% growth over FY 2023. Consequently, given the strong margin performance in the first half of this year, we revised the guidance upwards from 17% to around 19% for the full year FY 2024. It will be a 400 basis point improvement over last year. With that, I would like to conclude my update, and we are happy to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from AK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Excellent set of numbers, Bhanu and the team. I have roughly two questions here. So Bhanu, last call you have mentioned that, like, we are just scratching the surface, and there is a lot of growth that should happen in the coming years, you said. And I particularly related to in-house, I'm talking about, like, you said, now currently, whatever the growth we are seeing is from the acquisitions led. But I wanted to understand that the tools that we have built related to AI modeling or RevAI or this, so how much that we can scale up and when actually we can see, because these are the high-margin product, I'm assuming that. So when this margin will be upticking, will be happening to, like, 25% to 30%? That is the first question. Second question is regarding the employees. Currently, if you see the strength of RateGain is, I would assume that it is employees. But, how much of the ESOP or the skin in the game the higher management has? Because that gives a motivation for them also. And the third question is regarding the guidance you have mentioned that. So currently, if I see, you have said that 60% or above. If I see the run rate, we are now only clocking roughly 900 to 1,000 crores of revenue. Then, why, I see that is like decline of guidance or margin also, it is mentioned that, it is 19%. And when you scale up the revenue, I think the margin should go up gradually more since we are a totally SaaS-based product. So can you throw light on these three things? Thanks.
Yeah. So I was just writing down the questions so that I address each one of them. Your first question on what is the organic growth opportunity look like? So I want to start by saying something that I said in the last quarterly earnings call as well, and sort of reinforce that we are absolutely committed to doubling the revenue from here in the next 3 years, which is sort of a CAGR of 26%. My overall sense is that our organic growth will continue to be sort of north of 20%, between 20%-25%, and, you know, the balance would be, as you know, we run a programmatic M&A program, and we continue to look at M&A opportunities, and we have a very, very robust pipeline as well. But from an organic perspective, the way we think about our business is really, there are three levers for growth organically. So we have mature products that we continue to penetrate. There is a very, very large addressable opportunity. These are mature products, have very, very healthy EBITDA margins, and we continue to penetrate them. These are all the existing products that you see, in the areas of VAS, distribution, and MarTech. The second category of products, I classify them as sort of teenagers. These are products that, we've invested in. I talked about at the time of the IPO about all the investments we were making through RG Labs, and now it's been a couple of years. They have matured, they're revenue generating, and, hopefully we will be hitting at some point a tipping point from which we can see a hockey stick effect. So I believe that we are at the cusp of achieving that with one or two of the new products that we have, including RevAI and the integrated RevMax platform. And, the third category is, really what I call babies. These are products that are at an inception stage. They are pre-revenue, but they burn a lot of cash. And these are experiments that as a company we continue to do. Some will work out, some babies will grow into teenagers, but some will have a terminal effect. So, as in things that focus on tech, it's very important that we continue to focus on that. So our assumptions are largely on growth, organic growth from our mature products, but I do feel like, there will be one or two products in that teenager category that will grow into adults and over this next year period. The second question was around how do we ensure that the senior management team has a skin in the game. So we already have a stars program where, for as sort of the stock price goes up, there is rewards for the senior management team to participate in that upside. And, they are about 100 people out of the 800 people that participate in the stars program. And secondly, what we are also doing now is we recently got an approval for the ESOP trust. So the goal is that, we will also now start providing stock to senior employees, and we're working on internal modalities on how we do that, but that creates another incentive for senior management team to participate in the upside of the company. And so far, it's really working very, very well. As was evident in the attrition numbers that I pointed out, product tech industry is usually hovering around 20% attrition, but we are now at about 13%. And this is in addition to other HR programs that we run at RateGain. Your third question was a question around the existing numbers that we have, and the opportunity to continue to, I think you mentioned the point that, look, you're trending towards 950 crores to 1,000 crores, and margins are already at 19%. So how come the vision in upside is not more? So look, I think, as you noticed, that the performance is already exceeding what we had guided for 2 quarters ago, and we've actually funded that guidance now given the performance that we are seeing. And we want to continue to promise and over deliver on that promise, and that's the hope. But your question on the margins, I think, we are in very early stages of the large opportunity that exists in the travel industry. And again, a metric I've talked about, it's a $2.35 trillion industry with almost close to $100 billion spent on tech and travel and hospitality. So we are still a very, very small company, and there is a large addressable market that we need to, focus on and grow the company. So we are actually quite ahead of schedule in terms of the margin profile that we wanted to get to. So if you look at our LTV to CAC, it's very efficient. And, I was hoping you would ask me the question that why aren't you investing more in sales given the LTV to CAC, right? So given our customer acquisition cost is also so efficient, and with all the different programs that we are running, I see a much larger opportunity to continue to reinvest in the business. And we don't want to, when I talked about all the three different categories, the babies, teenagers, and the adults, so all our mature product lines are actually, in fact, north of 30% margin, and we can turn that on very, very easily. But we want to do that at the cost of growing the company? Absolutely not. We see the opportunity and we want to capitalize on it. And look, this is going to go through investment cycles when we, I'm trying to build this company for, getting to $1 billion. So, whenever we see the opportunity to invest more and scale up, we will go through those investment cycles. We see the opportunity where we want to invest more. So, at this point, I would say we are extremely comfortable with the margin profile that we have attained. And as I had indicated in the last quarterly call, pretty much attainable in the 3-year time horizon that we can get to that closer to that 25% number.
Okay, that sounds good. Last, just to follow up this one, you said the second category, right? The first one is mature and the second one. So when the second one, since we have been working on for past 3 years or 2 years, right? So
that's correct.
When it will come mature, I just wanted to understand the life cycle of this product. So can you explain that?
I would say that, with increasing revenue and the products are growing extremely fast, but the revenue base is small. So even if I told you, each of these products are growing at 100% year-on-year revenue, the base is small, and given the size of the company is overall now scaled quite significantly, for it to create a meaningful impact is at least a few quarters away, where you can see, a meaningful impact on our overall top line and bottom line. But as I mentioned earlier, I feel very, very comfortable with our mature products that I call adults continuing to give us that 20 to 25% growth. And I see this actually as a bonus. So we are at it, but if the company size goes from, from 2 years ago, if I told you that, we'd do 30 crores, it would still be meaningful, right? Because we were at 300 crores. Now we're closing in at 1,000 crores. 30 crores is neither interesting for you nor for me to talk about. So I do think as we get scale, as we reach the tipping point, these teenager products, would be the future seeds. It's the seeds of growth that we have sown that it will ultimately do create that meaningful impact for us.
Great. Thanks, Banu. Thanks for always. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address the questions from all participants in the conference call, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have any follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Karan Uppal from PhillipCapital India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a strong set of numbers yet again. So two questions from my side. Firstly, on Adara. So how has Adara performed in Q2? Last quarter, you mentioned that the revenue was around $8 million. So if you can share what is the revenue run rate this quarter? And ex of Adara, how is the growth in the MarTech segment? So that's question number one. Second question is on distribution. So why is distribution revenue steady when travel sector is doing so well? Is it due to the discounts you are giving to some large hotel chains, or maybe you are losing market share to competitors? So if you can explain the disconnect between distribution and the strong travel demand. Yeah.
Tanmay, do you want to take that question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was speaking on mute. I'm sorry. So the first question was around Adara. I think Adara is growing, it registered around 57% growth in H1 and 81% in Q2. So it is incrementally growing, sequentially growing, and showing all signs of an excellent year. It's now crossed around $10 million quarterly revenue mark, which was around $8 million, $9 million last quarter. So that's on Adara. Next question was on distribution. Yes, the distribution revenue is flat this quarter, primarily because one of the large OTAs, which are connected to us, is not performing well from their perspective. So the number of bookings are not great. But at the same time, good news is that we had one of the large OTA connecting to GDS last year, and that has started to monetize from this month. The benefits have not been seen in H1, but from Q3 and Q4, you would see uptick because of that. And it is the biggest contract ever won in RateGain. So we should see some good uptick in Q3 and Q4.
Okay. So for the full year, can we expect Adara to grow maybe 30%-35%?
Yeah, Adara will grow around 45%.
Okay. Great. And all the best for full year.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity, and many, many congratulations for the extremely good set of numbers. So first up, just a few clarification on the comments that you already made. You mentioned that 20-25% is an organic growth, right? So, I mean, and the balance will be through M&A. So overall, so what percentage growth do you expect from M&A as well? I mean, would it be 10-15% on a yearly basis, as you mentioned that we have a good pipeline, right, of M&A activities?
Yes. So it's very hard to put a number on the inorganic growth because we're looking at companies that are different sizes. So it's hard to comment. But even if we were to sort of take conservative numbers in terms of the size of companies that we undertake, given the past performance, that's why if you sort of do the math, this goal of coming to doubling the revenue in the next few years is basically a CAGR of 26%. So we think that organically we can grow between 20%-25%, and the balance will be inorganic. And it's also important to look at how disciplined we've been about M&A. So if I take you back to 2015, when we raised our first round of private equity money, and it was for the purpose of M&A, we didn't actually acquire any company for the first 3 years. So it's not going to be a straight line for the next 3 years. It's very much possible that we may do one or two deals within the next year, or it could be that, you know, it's postponed to the second year. It really all depends on the value that we get these deals at, because we've been fiscally very prudent about what we pay, and we are patient strategic buyers. So it's hard to, you know, put down a number, but what basis, whatever past or we've seen over the last 3-4 years and the 4 acquisitions that we've done, we've given some, you know, we've taken some conservative numbers on what that is an organic growth would look like.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned doubling revenue in 2 years, right?
No, 3 years.
3 years. So that effectively means 25% CAGR. I mean, that's organic, right?
No. So it's 26% is what it is. And that does account for inorganic as well. Like I said, we've taken sort of like conservative numbers on what inorganic growth will add to our revenue growth.
Okay. Fair enough. I understood. And my second clarification on your margins. I mean, we do have an aspirational margin of 25%, right, in the medium term. That's what you mentioned, right, in one of the comments earlier?
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, at a scale of, let's say, 2,000 crores, I do believe that we will be at a 25% margin, despite, you know, us wanting to continue to invest in R&D and scale up. Because from here on a lot of our mature products, I continue to see, you know, the operating leverage play out. So, so we do feel comfortable. But like I said, we've been exceeding our margin guidance since we've listed, and I'm very comfortable with where we are, and, you know, we'll get there in 3 years, but I don't want to get there at the speed we are expanding margins and, you know, continue to actually accelerate our investments.
Correct. So at a 2,000 revenue scale is what we might aspire for such kind of margins as well, right?
That is correct.
And then my last question is on your, I mean, current global situation. So, the current global situation, do we see any kind of impact on the demand side or on the client side or any reservation or I mean, how is the situation right now?
Yeah. So, look, clearly we are seeing some level of impact in the Middle East. You know, the conversations that we are having with customers is slowing down because of the situation with Israel, Palestine, but overall, you know, so far, I mean, this conflict started on the 7th of October, but we've not seen any other impact on the overall business, either in the U.S. In fact, I'm sure you've seen the GDP numbers that came out. Similarly, on the travel numbers, also we're seeing, you know, pretty robust demand. So although we have seen some impact in the Middle East area, and it is, you know, it is very, very small, the business for us today. So on the overall numbers, it's a marginal impact. But I would say that Middle East was an area that really, really wanted to focus and grow in, given all the investments Saudi Arabia is making and trying to actually become bigger than even UAE. So that's obviously on a pause. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's not impacting our numbers.
Okay. So overall, we are not seeing much impact. I mean,
that is correct.
That's it from my side, sir. I think thank you so much. All the very best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Hritik Tulsiyan from Concept Invest Well. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So I have 2 questions. So first is, what as a company we are doing differently leading to such a high LTV to CAC? Because, you know, the average of SaaS company is far lesser than your company. So I want to understand what we are really doing differently, and where do you see this number heading in, you know, in, let's say, 2-3 years down the line? So that is my first question. Second, I'll ask after you have answered the first question.
Yeah, so look, I can talk about, you know, what we are doing and how our sales structure is and how we go to market. So basically, broadly speaking, there are a couple of segments that we go after. One is, you know, the enterprise and mid-market, and the other is sort of the long tail. And if you look at our business, predominantly, we're heavily concentrated in the mid-market and the enterprise segment. And we effectively go to market by utilizing our global center of excellence in marketing based in India. So while the enterprise team is actually operating in each of its respective regions, there's a lot of ammunition and support that is provided by the COE of marketing based out of India. So effectively, we are able to manage our, you know, marketing costs, but in terms of, our enterprise feet on street are local in the market. The other thing that is really, really powerful in the RateGain platform, that's something that I've talked about in the past and we haven't fully leveraged it, is as we acquire more companies and capabilities, there is a huge bunch of overlap in terms of the commonality of customers that we have. And as a result of which, it creates tremendous opportunity to go to the customer and say, look, we're doing already these things with you. Now we have this interoperable platform where we can become the one-stop shop, you know, which helps us increase the size of share of wallet with each of these customers. So, you know, I don't see your other question about, you know, do I see the LTV to CAC changing quite significantly? No, because we will continue to be focused on this mid-market and enterprise market. And I do not believe that we have fully leveraged the platform of cross-selling and upselling yet. You know, the work is underway and I do not see these numbers changing significantly over a period of time.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is, so like we have a good amount of cash and investments on our balance sheet, right? Yet we are going for QIP. So I just want to know, do we have any big M&A in pipeline or in, you know, in line for which we need such huge amount of cash? So I don't understand the need to IP right now. So if you can explain on that part. So that was my last question.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're at 425 to 450 crores now of cash on the balance sheet. And as you saw, in the first half, we generated 76 crores. So it's a valid question. And as we've been saying that, you know, the goal is to actually build a war chest. And we do have significant opportunities in front of us from an M&A perspective. And we do believe that, you know, we need to be ready that, you know, because when opportunity knocks at your door, you need to be able to respond very, very quickly. And thus, we believe we need to have this war chest to be able to execute on some of these deals if they do capitalize at the right price for us.
Okay, thank you so much and have all the best for your future endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on strong set of numbers. So, I have just one question. Particularly, how should we think...
Mr. Anmol, can you use a handset in case if you're using the loudspeaker? Because there is a lot of echo.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Perfect.
Yeah. So, lastly, wanted to understand that how should we think about the new client additions going ahead? Going ahead from cross-selling, will it be driven by additions towards smaller hotel chains? Or how should we think about ARPU going ahead as well?
Yeah. So like I said, the additions will continue to be in the mid-market and enterprise segment. And I do see the ARPU actually going up as we continue to cross-sell and upsell to this mid-market account. So while we will continue to see the addition, I think the larger focus for us is continue to penetrate the accounts that we have. Because one of the comments I mentioned earlier is, when just 3-4 years ago, just prior to COVID, we were really a 1-2 product company. And now we have 13 products, and we've just begun to realize the value of being able to leverage our platform. And that continues to be our area of focus for us. And that I do believe that the ARPU will continue to go up.
Yeah, so we think that cross-sell would be enough to increase our ARPU apart from the smaller client additions that we go ahead with.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? Would the cross-sell be enough for?
So what I'm asking is that you think that cross-sell opportunities, which particularly can increase our ARPU, will be enough to offset the new client additions, which would be largely smaller hotel chains and will give you a lesser ARPU in the initial start at least?
I think maybe you've misunderstood. I do not see it's not like we have pretty much capitalized on every big hotel chain or big enterprise. And remember, we are now have diversified our customer segments, right? We've gone across to airlines and rental companies and destination management companies as a result of the acquisition that we did of Adara, which is predominantly based in the U.S., the DMOs. But now we have DMOs all across the world that we can add. Airlines is something that's new for us. There's a bunch of big new airlines that we're pursuing, and we have RFPs. And similarly, even in the hotel chain segment, we haven't penetrated every hotel chain. So our focus will continue to be the mid-market and the enterprise chain. So I don't see any new deals that we sign going significantly down either. We are continuing to see that we sign larger deals.
Sure. Understood. Thanks. Thanks for answering the question.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Rohan Nagpal from Helios Capital India. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first, I'll just ask them sequentially. So the first one is.
Rohan, your line is a bit. It's not clear.
Yes, one second.
Can you try the handset, please?
Is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think on recent information I was given out in this call, Adara revenue this quarter was about $10.5 million, and last quarter it was about 66 crores. So if I adjust for Adara revenue, on an organic basis, your revenue is flat Q-on-Q. So are there any so there clearly seem to be some headwinds that the organic business is facing. So could you just shed some light on that?
On the organic, Tanmay, do you want to take that? Because I'm surprised with this comment. I mean, we are.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Because sequentially, I mean, yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about distribution segment, right? Because we talked about distribution segment where one of the bigger OTAs is not performing well. But we are, as I said, we have started monetizing one of the very big contracts. So we'll see uptake in Q3 and Q4. On DaaS segment, on organic side, we had to actually defer a few revenues because one of the large renewals could not get signed by 30th of September. But I think that's now is being signed as we speak. So we should see that uptake in again Q3 and Q4. That is obviously another 3-4% for DaaS, which we kind of missed because we could not, you know, agree to a price increase with them. On the MarTech side, as I said, like excluding Adara, we have got MyHotelShop, which is the paid digital media that is growing pretty well. I think that has grown around 26% in Q2, and sequentially it also it has grown around 7%. On the social side, as we have been telling that we still are not out of the woods there. I think that's flat from Q quarter over quarter at this point of time, because we wanted to make it, you know, profitable, and we let go a few loss-making customers, and we are endeavor to make it, you know, a 15% EBITDA margin in going forward. So from that perspective, we'll see growth challenges in that businesses. So hope I answered your question.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks for the color over there. And then my other question was that, so one thing that I noticed is that this in the first half of this year, transaction revenue accounted for 40.8% of your overall revenue. And since it was 37% in Q1, the share in Q2 was even higher. So if I look at this on a year-on-year basis, your transaction revenue has gone from 29 crores in Q2 of FY23 to 104 crores in Q2 of FY24. So now, with a company that derives that much more money from transactions, you're fundamentally a different business, right? Earlier, it was a recurring revenue business. Now, there's a much greater emphasis on transaction revenue, going out quarter after quarter, fighting for revenue, making sure that it gets booked. So what exactly is going on there? Could you provide some color?
That's primarily because of Adara growth. Adara, the paid digital media, is primarily on a transaction model, on a per impression model. From a contractual perspective, it's, you know, most of our transaction revenue across RateGain are kind of annual renewal contracts. Okay. It's mostly the transaction, you know, but they are billed on a transaction basis. I would say we have a very optimal.
Let me also comment. So, Rohan, if you actually look at the numbers, a significant amount of our growth, Sanjay mentioned, came from the Adara digital media business. And, you know, as you know, that the company was really suffering and they had adopted models just to survive. And one of those models was actually this transactional model that bring in the money however we can. So as we get into a subsequent year of owning the asset, the goal is to move this more into what we call evergreen contracts or subscription types of contracts with minimal commitment. So I do see that happening, but not immediately, because you know, as you have noticed, we've been very, very deliberate and slow in making any big changes. I think our strategy of being very deliberate in the changes we want to make in the business has paid off dividends. And similarly, we don't want to now upset what is working, but eventually we do want to, you know, secure and go more towards our also preferred model of subscription. And I do think, you know, that will happen, but it will not happen anytime, you know, like in this fiscal. We've already begun to have those conversations, because a lot of the customers, again, are common and they understand the business model that through which we operate. And as we become more important to them, and we can also establish that we are a company, a global company that has been around and will be around, there's also much easier to have that conversation to get them to commit, you know, to an annual subscription minimum as well.
So if I understand you correctly, the transaction model was adopted by Adara as a survival tactic, but over a period of time, not immediately, but over the medium term, you expect to transition that transaction revenue into a hybrid sort of model?
That is correct.
Okay. And last...
Mr. Rohan Nagpal, may we request you to return to the queue for the follow-up?
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Hope my line is audible.
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Yes, sir. So, just to understand two aspects. Firstly, from a seasonality point of view, based on your guidance, is it like now the seasonality post Adara taking bigger share of the revenue?
Rahul, I can't hear you. Can you try the handset, please? Sorry.
Is it any better?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, sorry for that. So I was saying with Adara now fully integrated into our business, is there a very different way we have to see the seasonality for our business? And in general, what are your sense from a pure market perspective that can things change materially faster? Because irrespective of the economic behavior, the spend behavior on travel continues to be much better that way.
Yeah. So look, your first question about seasonality, no, I don't see that changing. So you will continue to see that our H2 is stronger than H1. And, you know, going into Q3 and Q4, they usually are stronger quarters. And we see sort of a similar trend in Adara as well. Now, like I said, I think I tried to address this question earlier as well in terms of the geopolitical risk that we see around us. We've seen some level of impact. It's hard for me to say, you know, what does this factor do to, does this, you know, escalate to an all-out, you know, Middle East war or a World War III, you know, it's difficult to comment on that, but I can tell you what we see today. Like I said, we don't see, you know, even in the Q3, you know, end of October, we continue to see good traction on our numbers, both revenue numbers as well as sales numbers. We've seen some impact in Middle East, but like I said, that part of our business is very small, although, you know, we did intend to invest quite significantly given all the activity we were seeing in Middle East, also Saudi Arabia. But obviously that, you know, will have to be postponed now. But in terms of impact to our business, it's non-material at this point. But it's hard to comment as, you know, how the problem escalates in the Middle East. But I can tell you in terms of the overall activity, especially in North America, you know, we are not seeing any net down. We continue to see quite robust growth. And also please remember, the function of growth at RateGain is, you know, as a result of two things. One is the growth of the overall industry, but also, you know, us gaining market share. And the fact that we are the only company that provides an end-to-end platform is enabling us to also gain market share and get much, much deeper with our clients. So while the industry, you know, growth is, if you look at the numbers now, it's poised to grow to $2.35 trillion, which is about 7.5% either from now up until 2030. But I do believe, you know, we will continue to grow much faster than that.
Okay, great. Appreciated the color. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miten Shah. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah.
So I would just like to know, I've been seeing this tagline of since the inception of IPO, like we serve, top 23 of the 30 hotel chains of the world and the top 25 out of 30 of online travel agents of the world. Why is this number not improving? Is it that the balance hotel chains and OTAs are located in Antarctica? That's the first question.
I think it's a great point. We need to come back to you. My suspicion is that it could potentially improve, especially on the hotel chain side, and possibly also on the OTAs. On the car rentals, we already work with all the car rental companies. On the airline side also, the number is far more significant than what we had in the past. So, thanks for pointing that out. I think in the next call that we have, you should see that tagline improve.
Thank you. Thank you. The subsequent question, after this would be, can any new verticals be added? Like hotel chains, online travel agents, we have DMOs. Can any new verticals can be added in the future?
Yeah, so we've added destination management companies, and in terms of additional customer segments, one area that we flirt with continuously is the vacation rental market. But there isn't core focus on it as of this point. But that, as you know, is a massive, massive industry, and it's an industry and a segment that is of interest to us. But we're just trying to execute. I mean, there's already a lot for us to execute on. So focus is to continue to deliver on the segments that we are focusing on. But yes, there are some one or two adjacent segments that can be very, very interesting for us. Vacation rentals is one. The other is tours and activities, which is also a very high growth area in the travel industry. And fundamentally, everything that we do can be applied to those segments as well. But like I said, we want to continue to focus on the key market segments that we focus on and continue to gain market share before we begin to venture out. I think the easier way for us to get into these segments would actually be M&A, so that we're not really starting from scratch, but we have a customer base. And we do evaluate those opportunities from time to time as well.
All right. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and once again, congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we would take that as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bhanu Chopra for closing comments.
Yes, thank you everyone for taking the time out for this call today. We appreciate everybody's support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of RateGain Travel Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.